study this morning on the 103rd Psalm, looking at verse 19. I'll use verse 19 as my springboard text this evening. Knowing God as sovereign, being more familiar, more aware, more knowledgeable about the sovereignty of God. As I said this morning, I believe that in this turbulent culture that we're in, the deception, the lies, the chaos, all the confusion, it's hard to know who to believe and who to trust. We need to trust and believe and listen to God. He's always right. He's sovereign. And what that means is he has divine right and power, absolute and total rule. Okay? And that's what God has. It's not just what he is, but it's what he has. And that's how he governs the world, all of creation. And so in the 103rd Psalm, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens." Now, when was his throne established? From everlasting to everlasting. So don't think that word prepared, don't let that throw you off. You know, there wasn't a time when God built a throne. It's always been there. But there was a time when his throne was made known to you. There was a time when you became knowledgeable of God's throne in heaven and above the world. And so he articulates this declaration of his sovereignty by identifying his throne in the heavens. And his kingdom ruleth over all. And so we see there in these words, throne and kingdom, and ruleth, the sovereignty of God. And that's how the sovereignty of God is established throughout the scriptures. Jesus prayed, and this is a lengthy study, but this, when Jesus prayed, the disciples asked him to teach us to pray. In that model prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And even Christ in his prayer, model prayer, was teaching them of the sovereignty of God. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so God rules sovereignly from the heavens. We saw this morning that in his sovereign rule, that he is sovereign over sickness. And just to reiterate what we've gone through the last couple of years, and I've heard that some of you are even sick, maybe with COVID, not here tonight, but some of your family. We know that our president is sick with COVID. So it's still going around, this virus that everybody was so up in upheaval about. We knew that, right? It's not going to go away. It's going to be here. It's going to continue, as well as other diseases. You go back 100 years or less thereabouts, and people were up in arms just like they are about COVID with polio and measles. And these types of things have always been around. But you know, Christians, you go back to leprosy in the Bible times. And there's always been a disease and sickness. And Christians have always, throughout history, have always taken a stance that God is sovereign over sickness. If God, it's not going to be foolish, but if God is going to allow me to get sick, it's going to be for a divine purpose. Because he divinely rules. He has divine power and authority over all creation. So he's sovereign over sickness. And we need not to fear that. We need not to buy into the fear-mongering. And so knowing that God is sovereign over sickness establishes a trust and a hope that exceeds what the world can give us. Now, that means nothing to you here tonight. But to the world, that their hope is in science and in big pharma and vaccines. That's where their hope is. You know that. Most of the world's hope is in men and in science and in doctors. Mm-hmm. Now you're shaking your head. You agree?
Yeah. That's right.
But what do you do when you get sick? Oh, got a sniffle. I'm not making fun. I don't mean to make fun. Lord help my attitude. I don't want to be that way. When you get sick, We're too quick to run to the doctor. We get a little sniffle. Why is that? I'm afraid that even we are scared. It could be cancer. I can get cancer, and some of you are dealing with cancer. I get it. But what I'm driving at is that we are under such a heavy torrent of fear. Most of us, and by far the world, is living in fear that just a little headache or sore throat, oh, I'm going to die. You know, the sky's falling. Chicken Little runs around and screams and hollers. And I don't mean to belittle us. And I'm the same way. Don't think that I don't think that. Don't think that every Monday morning I have a sore throat, right? After talking Sunday and being busy, I have a sore throat every Monday morning. And if I thought, man, I'm going to die, you know, it could be throat cancer. And I don't mean to make little or light of that, but some people are under such heavy fear, they're stricken by it. And that's all they can think about is themselves. What can you do? What good can you do for God when you're all worried about yourself? And again, there is a balance and a need for that. But you understand what I'm saying? Is there has been such a shadow over us of fear-mongering that we lose sight that God is sovereign. God does not want us to be foolish, but he does want us to trust him in the areas that we're not certain about and we don't know. So if you don't know, don't panic, right? I told Graham this morning about, you know, Skylar's not ready to give birth, and that time is soon. And I said, listen, Graham, whatever happens, don't panic. It'll be okay. She's been prayed over. She's in a good place. She's in church. She's reading her Bible. She's praying. She's got a Christian husband, a Christian dad. I mean, a good church. I mean, right? You're in a good place. And that doesn't mean that things could go crazy quick, but you're in a good place. God's going to take care of you. You can't buy that type of security, that type of confidence, that consolation. Where are you going to? You can't get that at a doctor's office.
Right.
Doctor can't give you that great of a guarantee that you're going to be okay. This preacher will. I was listening to... I'll give a commercial for TP USA, Turning Point USA. One of my latest, biggest fans is Charlie Kirk, young man, and he's the founder of Turning Point USA, a Christian man. He goes around the college campuses and speaks, and he's an advocate for salvation, preaches the gospel, but he's also exposes the wickedness of our politics and our government. But he said, I was listening to him today, and he made a statement. He said, there's no greater power on earth than a man of God behind the pulpit with an open Bible letting it rip. So I thought about that. I said, well, that's the truth. And I thought, okay, here's our theme for Fall Bible Conference. You ready for this, Teresa? Here's our theme for this Fall Bible Conference. Let her rip, Bible Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Let her rip.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to try to pray that God will give us some preachers that will let her rip and just preach heaven glorious and hell hot. But that's where we're at today. And I believe that's what we need in this day. We've got to combat this fear-mongering that's going on and know that God is sovereign. Tonight, let's wrap up our thoughts with number two, God is sovereign over Satan. Very simple thought. We know that to be true, but we need to be reminded that sometimes in the Bible, Satan is considered ruler of this world. That does not mean he's sovereign, but he has been granted rulership of this world. John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11 all indicate that Lucifer has or is ruler of this world. Now, I don't have time to explain it, but what I mean, and I believe what the Bible teaches about this world, being ruler of this world, is ruler of this world system. He's not ruler of the planet. He's not ruler of the climate. He's not ruler of the icebergs. and is that right? Icebergs and the glaciers. He's not ruler of the sun and the moon. He's not ruler of the galaxies and the Little Dipper, where the Little Dipper is on any given night. We can go on and on and on. He's not ruler of this created cosmos. God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is the ruler of the world as a whole. Satan is just ruler of the world system, the inner workings of the world. The spiritual, Ephesians 6:12, the spiritual workings, God has given him some authority over that. God has given him authority over the affairs of men in this world. Governances, and, you know, socialism, communism, capitalism, all of those isms of governance. Satan is the ruler of those systems. God has decreed that to be so. He's also known as the god of this world, little g. Little g. You see the similarities of being ruler, but not sovereign. Being God, but not deity. We'll explain a little bit more about this in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he's known as the prince of the power of the air. A princely position. He's also known in Ephesians 6:12 as a power over this present darkness. And this means that we should probably take him serious when we read about how that he, the devil, took Jesus up on a mount and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. When he did that, when the devil, and the Bible says he took him up. That's the exact wording. Not against his will, but God the Father allowed God the Son to go to this place of temptation under, mind you, sovereign rule of God. It was under the sovereign attention of Almighty God. But God allowed it. God decreed it, if you wanted to use a theological term. God allowed Satan to take the Lord Jesus Christ up to a mountain and show him the kingdoms of the world. Now, was this news to Christ? Was this some spectacle to Christ? Was this something mind-blowing to Christ, the king? No. He created the king. But it meant something to the devil. This proud and evil and arrogant being was wanting to boast of his world system. Not so much the created world, but the systems of the world that were in place. And you know your history from Alexander the Great and the Greek Hellenistic cultures that were set up, the Jewish cultures and the Babylonian cultures and the Egyptian cultures and all these different cultures from Bible time, from Nimrod all the way up. To Satan, it just seemed to be like a magical orchestra. All these differing religions and ideas, all these differing languages and cultures, just see what I've done. That was the devil's kingdom. The kingdoms of his world. That which he's prince and power over. That which he is God of, little g. That which he is the ruler of. And so he was boasting and wanted Christ to see the kingdoms of this world. And he made a bargain with the Lord. He says, I will give thee this authority and this glory. I will give you this authority and this glory. That's what he was presenting to him. If you'll do this, here's what I'll give you. The authority that Satan had, Satan thought it was something. But Christ knew better. He, being God, knew what divine authority was. He knew what sovereign glory was. And it wasn't what he was seeing that the devil was showing him. But oftentimes, that's what the devil shows us. Look what we have in America. Capitalism. And True, the best form of government known to man is what we have. And this experiment has been great so far. Decent the last few years, but great for a long time. And we look at that just like the devil tried to show the Lord and said, listen, you can share in this glory. And Jesus, of course, thinking, you don't know my God. You don't know the sovereign ruler that is far above you. You don't know him. And again, if I can use R.C. Sproul's words, infamous words, when someone asked him the question, if God is such a loving God, why has he allowed such chaos in the world? And he got deathly quiet. He said, what's wrong with you? Don't you know who God is? And oftentimes we point the finger at God, we blame God, we find fault with God. And the reason we do that is we don't know who God is. Yeah. We don't know that he is sovereign. The devil didn't recognize that, but I'm glad Christ did. And Christ did not bow, he did not give in. He was tempted yet without sin. He didn't give, because there can only be one sovereign ruler. If Christ would have bowed to the devil, then the devil would have been supreme. But he did not. And he maintained his sovereignty in heaven as we saw it on earth. Thy will be done in heaven as thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in Luke chapter 4, 5 and 7, that's what we see Christ epitomizing or perfectly illustrating. Thy will be done. God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was not impressed, and he did not worship the devil. If the sovereign of the universe bows in worshipful submission to anyone, if Christ were to bow to submission to anyone, then that one becomes the sovereign of the universe. If Christ would have been tempted unto sin, then Satan would have become the sovereign of the world. But he did not, praise be to God. Satan's claims that he can give the authority and glory of world kingdoms to whosoever he wills is a half-truth. We know that God allows Satan to set men up and take men down, to allow men to be in authority and under authority. But have no doubt that as the devil plays havoc on this world by maneuvering such men as Stalin or a Hitler or an Idi Amin or a Bloody Mary or Pope John Paul or Saddam Hussein into evil, seditious, murderous power, he only does this with God's permission. He only puts men into place with God's permission and God's appointed purpose in the time that he allows it to happen. And it is with God's appointed limits.
Amen.
Even Hitler had his days numbered. Mm-hmm. All of them came and went.
Yep.
All of them, I'm sure the devil thought, I've caught them now. I'm going to show them now. God showed him again and again and again that he still is sovereign over the universe. Lastly, God is sovereign over sinful men. This is made clear over and over again in the Bible, that God is not only sovereign over sickness, not only is God sovereign over Satan, but he's sovereign over sinful men. In Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to give you three or four important verses that deal with this truth, that identify God's sovereignty over the affairs of men, as people live in a world that Satan is prince of power, ruler, and little g god of this world system that we have to live in. And that brings up emphasis to what Paul said, that we are to be in this world, but not of it. We're going to live under this wicked world system, but we don't have to buy into it. We don't have to take it hook, line, and sinker. So how do we justify this? Well, learn that God is sovereign over sinful men. Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. In Daniel 4 verse 17, he continues by stating, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. And so when kings are set up and are in their God-appointed place, with or without Satan's agency, they are in the sway of God's sovereign will. Whatever and whoever these men may be, when they are set up, the Bible declares to us that they have been appointed within the boundaries and within the permission of God's sovereignty. No matter who these men are, no matter who these even queens from Bible times to this present time, they are appointed and limited by God. In Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So the king's heart, or the president's heart, whether it's president of Russia, the president of Turkey, or the president of Iran, or the president of the United States of America, these kings' hearts are in the hand of the Lord. That is, their soul. What is the heart? Not their spirit, but their heart. Their mind, will, and emotions are under the sovereign control of God Almighty. Whether God Almighty, like in the example of Job, uses Satan to move them, uses Satan to exemplify something from them, or uses Satan to fulfill a God-ordained purpose with them, they're under God's sovereign rule. And we may not like it. We may not agree with it. We may absolutely oppose what we see taking place. But what will help us to swallow that large pill painfully is that God is sovereign. Amen. That is my only saving grace with our president right now. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like what he stands for. I feel for him physically and emotionally. But what saves me from losing my ever-living mind is that God's sovereign. God's got absolute control over that man.
Yes.
He will do no more than what God allows him.
That's right.
What he says is appointed by God. Now that's changed. What I just said has changed my attitude towards him. As the world and most conservative media outlets make fun of his gaffes and belittle him for falling down the steps, this thought that I'm preaching to you has changed my attitude towards our president. That God is in control of every gaffe, every trip, every statement, every action, every agreement, every alliance, whether I like it or not, whether the world agrees, applauds, or makes fun of it or not, The Bible teaches me that God is sovereign and has a divine purpose for him being the king of our country, being the ruler, the president of our country. So the nations do not move without God's permission. The world system that Satan is the prince and power, the ruler and little g god of, does not move without God's permission.
Amen.
Know that. What this will do, it will keep you from being fear-mongering and to buy into the fear That you know, the sky's calling and that the world's coming to an end. Well, it's just like the devil taking the Lord to the mountain, showing him the kingdoms. Lord, whoop-de-doo, you know, no big deal to me. I created it, you know. I just gave you a little part of it. So when the Bible or when people tell us the world's coming to an end, that's nothing new. I know it is. Sooner the better. And so we don't buy into the fear. We're not disrespectful. You understand what I'm saying. But we're not going to let it ruin our lives. We're not going to allow it to discredit our power and our authority under our sovereign God. So evil nations will rise and set themselves against the Almighty. That's nothing new. Psalms 2 told us in verse 2 through 4. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they set themselves up to be as gods? Why do they defy the sovereign of the... Why do they rage in this manner? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I am certain when the devil took the Lord in Luke 4 to that mount, showed him all these things, the Lord God in heaven, that's really cool, Satan. That's really impressive. I'm sure he laughed him into derision. Now the devil couldn't hear him, but I'm certain the devil knew the foolishness of what he was attempting to do. But yet in his deceitfulness, being the father of lies, you know, any good liar has to believe their lies first before they're good at telling them, and that's the devil. He believed his own lie, and whether God laughed at him foolishly or not, he still believed what he was doing was in the best interest of the world system. That's what we have going on today. So many of our kings and presidents and rulers believe that what they're doing is in the best interest of the world system. Let that be an indicator. Let the red light go off. Let the red flags go up. When they believe they're doing what's in the best interest of the world system and it flies in the face of scriptures, who's the prince of that? Who's the ruler of that? Who's the authority behind that type of mentality? It's the devil. They're instruments in the devil's hands. But remember, God's sovereign. Don't be afraid. God's got absolute control over the foolishness of the devil and those whom he turns, that God allows to turn as the rivers of water. And so they think that their sin and evil rebellion, those who think that their guise and plans for a world system is better than God's, they need to save the planet, and that's a lie, and that's not what they want. They could care less about climate change. They could really care less about pollution. That's not what they care. They use that as a smokescreen, and I hope you can see through that. But the Psalm 33 and verse 10 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. I believe. I pray in my lifetime, but if not, I believe that this hoax that's going on, many hoaxes we have been pushed in front of us, God is going to make these devices of none effect. I know He will in the day of judgment. I know He will in the last day when He sovereignly sits on the throne and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know that He will show the devices of their plans of none effect. I believe that hopefully, I'm hoping that even before then, He will prove that the heathen's devices are of none effect. And so, it is right and it's good to pray for God to maintain His sovereignty over the world. God is sovereign over the nations and over all their rulers and all satanic power behind them. They, the world system and its rulers, do not move without His permission, and they do not move outside His sovereign plan. So, in conclusion, we have two alternatives. Either God governs, or He is governed. Either God rules, or He is ruled. Either God has His way, or men have their ways. That's the age-old debate of Calvinism and Arminianism right there. Either God rules or he is ruled. Either God governs or he is governed. Either God has his way or men have theirs. It can't be both. I believe God is sovereign. And I believe God teaches us that I will accomplish all my purpose, from the smallest to the greatest. And let me say this. Whoever the next president of the United States is, he will not be sovereign.
Right.
We may have the opportunity to make America great again. But if that happens, that leader will not be sovereign.
Right.
You know, I'm preaching to the choir. But you need to let your constituents know this. You need to let your compadres know that the answer is not in the White House. The answer is in God's house, in the church house. Yeah. That preaches the word of God. That's where the answers are.
Right.
And so whoever the next president is, he will not be sovereign. But whoever it is, he will be governed. I promise you that. He'll be governed by a higher authority. He'll be governed by a greater power than what he may possess, or even what God may allow to possess him, if it be the devil. We should pray for him, because Proverbs 21:1 tells us that his heart's in the hand of the Lord, and he moves him as the waters. He'll move him. I believe God can answer our prayers. When our leader engages in foreign affairs, either present leader or future leader engages in foreign affairs. And I say that because I believe that the foreign affairs are on an upswing. There's going to be more and more alliances, right? We know the Bible teaches of a 10 common market nation. There are 10 nations that are going to unite. Not 11, not 9, but 10. I believe that we've seen the first of the 10 just recently, July 4th, unite. The first three of the 10. I'm not a prophet. I could be wrong. But what I see and what I understand, these three could be the first of the 10 that unite. And you can go from there and see who number 4 might be. It could be China. Number 5 might be North Korea. Number 6 might be Saudi Arabia. And we could go on. And we could come up with 10 in that region pretty easy. But I believe we have 3 that have already taken the lead in making an alliance. That is President Putin of Russia, President Rossi of Iran, and President Erdogan of Turkey. All 3 of these nations are prophesied in the Bible to make up part of the 10 common market nations that will bring in the end times prophecies. And when, not if, when America makes alliance with these of some sort, know that our Lord's coming is at hand. Know that his return is nigh. Because we will either make alliance or we're going to be taken out. We will either make alliance with these other 10 or we'll be taken out. There is, I believe, I'm not a prophet, not prophesying, but there is the doom of America. When these 10 common market nations make an alliance and we don't join with them, it'll be to our detriment. Acts 4:27-28 says, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Here is the statement in Acts chapter 4 of the crucifixion of Christ. And this was, I believe, the greatest crime against humanity. The greatest crime against heaven was when man crucified Jesus Christ. And that's what Acts 4:27-28 is telling us. This is the worst sin that ever happened. But it was in God's plan. And by that plan, sin died. Now, let me read that again. Acts 4, 27, 28. Listen. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, they said he's king of the Jews. Pilate said, you say he's king of the Jews. And Pilate even had them put a banner over that, king of the Jews. You guys anointed him king of the Jews. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what? Whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel, God's hand and God's counsel, determined before to be done. The worst sin that ever happened was in God's plan. And by that plan, sin died. Christ was crucified for sinful men. He died for sinful men. And we look at that and we think, oh, it's the worst thing that ever happened. God, they killed the Son of God. No. God allowed himself to become a man that he might die for man. That was in God's sovereign plan. Do I understand all of it? No. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Not that Christ had to go through that and what he went through and how he was treated. No, I don't like it. And how they lied against him. Herod had to pump his no respect for the Son of God. That bothers me. If I were living in that day, what would you do? Would you protest? Would you riot? Would you defend him? What would you do in that day? But it was in God's sovereign plan. God determined that to be, that we might be freed from death. That is, being freed from being separated from God forever and ever. So knowing the sovereignty of our God builds our hope in God, not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love of a sound mind. And so understanding more fully the sovereignty of God not only builds our hope in God, but it undergirds our trust in Him. It gives you that special fortification to trust Him in the unknown times. To trust Him in the uncertain times, whether it be sickness, whether it be wickedness and satanic attacks, or whether it just be the movement of sinful men. A sovereign understanding of God's sovereignty will undergird your trust in Him when nothing else makes sense. And nobody will understand that. Nobody will be able to make sense of how you can be so positive, how you can be so upbeat, how you can be so courageous, how you can be so strong and courageous in that. It's because you know God and you know He is sovereign over the affairs of men. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you have heard or read about her, how she was survived the German concentration camp as a child. And she wrote in her autobiography, in the midst of her uncertainty there in that prison camp, she said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Do you know Him? Do you know God enough to trust Him even unto death? That's where the rubber meets the road. Even when everybody else says, "You're crazy, man. That is foolish. That is suicide. If you do that." But we trust God. I desire, as your pastor, to grow in that kind of unshakable faith, trusting the all-knowing God with the uncertainties of life. And my prayer is that you, as well, may have this desire, that your peace in the Lord grows as you trust Him in these uncertain times. May God help us to be that kind of people. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together in your house. Thank you for the word that you've given us of knowledge, that we may understand you more and more. And then in these uncertain times, as Corrie Ten Boom said, the things that are unknown, we can trust a known God. The more we know about you, the better we can trust you. And I pray that today would be a day where that trust and that hope is increased, that our faith has grown just a little more, that in the days ahead, we'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable. acceptable and perfect will of God. May you be glorified in our lives as we face the uncertainties of this unknown future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing.